I care about statistical scarcity more than positional scarcity.
Have I killed fun?
Yeah.
Podcast is going off the rails already.
They're pop-ups. They're not infield fly balls.
These guys told you look at FIP, not ERA. So wait for Kluber sale, but pass on Robbie Ray. Hey, real quick, Scott's bummed about the humidor. And pick your milk for breakfast cereal, Mount Rushmore.
Thursday, May 23rd. What's going on? Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. We got some two homer games from yesterday. DeGrom and Scherzer getting right. A lot of injuries to update you on. And Garrett Cole is going to be on that thuriometer along with Cole Hamels. Garrett Cole Hamels. We got some more before and afters. You missed that, Scott, but we have... it was Domingo Herman Marquez was the before and after. Which one do you like better, Domingo Herman Marquez or Garrett Cole Hamels?
I think Domingo Herman Marquez.
Yeah.
What is that inspired by? What is that exercise inspired by?
There's a category on Wheel of Fortune called Before and After. That's
That's it. Meant to mess with the contestant's mind.
Yeah, but Herman Marquez or Domingo Herman Marquez pitched yesterday or pitched Tuesday. And Garrett Cole Hamels pitched on Wednesday, and our listeners are loving it, and they sent in some more before and afters. We'll get to that. Your email's at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Remember, we have a mailbag show we're recording Friday afternoon. It's going to air on Monday on Memorial Day. Let's get to some standouts. Scott White, who stood out to you on Wednesday?
So many standouts. I think the place I want to start is actually with Sean Kelly. How does that sound?
Okay.
Sean Kelly.
Yeah.
A save on a second straight day. So I think it's pretty clear he's the closer again. Jose Leclerc, did he work the 8th yesterday? Was it on Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So, I mean, he's getting closer probably to reclaiming the role, but Kelly should be finding it in the meantime. And all that Chris Martin talk is clearly a bunch of hot air.
So... All right, so we got a closer there. That's good. That's a standout. We had two guys who double-donged yesterday. Gleyber Torres, the greatest broadcasting clip in history. Gary Thorne calling Gleyber Torres, I think it was his second home run. And he's just like, oh, goodbye, home run. I can't believe this is happening. Like, it's really funny, so try to check it out. Try to look it up. Gleyber Torres has now hit 10 home runs in 11 games against the Orioles. The major league record for home runs in one season against one team is 12. And he's got, I think, 7 more games against the Orioles to go. Maybe he'll hit 2 more today. But again, he's 465 with 10 home runs against the Orioles with 6 walks, 8 strikeouts against everyone else, batting 250 with 2 home runs, 5 walks, 33 strikeouts. He's been straight up bad against everyone else. But Scott is buying into Gleyber Torres. He doesn't buy the Orioles argument. Scott says he's a buy high.
I mean, I don't think the color of the other team's uniform is like, you know, not like he's a mad bull responding to the color red.
Wait a second.
Right?
Are you serious?
That's
not what the argument is. That's not what it is.
What's the argument?
The Orioles are terrible. They have the worst pitching. They have literally the most homer-prone pitching staff in baseball history ever.
Does no other team have any bad pitchers? Like the
but
five
not like
worst
this.
Pitchers in the majors are in the Orioles pitching staff. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm saying that they are the worst, and 1 through 5, they are the worst, and they are historically bad. They're historically bad.
Well, I still don't quite understand the argument unless you're saying he's never going to face a bad pitcher on another team.
No,
he beat up on bad pitchers, and the Orioles happen to have a lot of bad pitchers. I can understand that argument, but I don't buy the argument that the Orioles pitchers are the only ones he can hit against.
I wasn't making that argument. I'm just saying that's what the stats have said. Of course, I think he's better than 250 with 2 home runs in 35 games against the rest of the competition, but I am saying that the Orioles are certainly inflating Gleyber Torres' value. And currently the number 4 second baseman in fantasy, he wasn't even top 12 like like a week ago, or when before he started assaulting the Orioles again. So that's all I'm saying. I mean, he's better than, again, 250 with two homers and 33 strikeouts in 35 games. Better than that, but I can't ignore the fact that he has beaten up on the worst pitching staff ever.
Okay. Well, what I choose to point to with Gleyber Torres is that his strikeout rate is way down from a year ago. And his BABIP, at least entering yesterday's game, so let's subtract the two home runs, his BABIP and home run to fly ball rate were about the same as last year. So, you know, maybe he's needed, maybe this hot streak has been a regression, the good kind of regression, to get him where he should have been all along. I am not super skeptical of what he's doing right now.
Okay. Top four second baseman at the moment, and that's obviously a pretty bad position. And batting .302 now with 12 home runs, also three steals for Gleyber Torres. The other double donger was Eloy Jimenez. That was really nice to see. His batted ball profile is pretty bad, 26.7% hard contact rate. I don't know how moved I should be by this two-homer game. But it was nice. One of the home runs.
You should bring a tear to your eye.
Okay. Well, one thing I guess I didn't realize was that even in the minor leagues, Jimenez is kind of a, I'll double check, but according to his Fangraphs page, ground ball hitter. So,
That's something he and Vladimir Guerrero had in common, I think, in the minors. And it's you know, carried over to their rookie season.
So what do you make of it? What do you make of this good game from Eloy Jimenez, who's had an otherwise bad season?
I mean, he has five strikeouts in three games since returning from the IL. I said it right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I make much of a two-homer game in isolation. He still seems like he's striking out too much, given the kind of hitter he's supposed to be. You know, it's not like he was supposed to be an all-or-nothing slugger. He's probably not going to walk a lot, so he needs to get hits in other ways. And hasn't shown many signs of breaking through and doing that. I still think, anything but a points league, probably he's worth rostering for the upside. And there's nothing wrong with rostering him in a points league either. It's just not necessarily a must in that format.
All right, so I'm going to guess that you and Heath are pretty different on your Eloy Jimenez rankings. Oh, no, he's moved him down to 38. I don't know if he's going to move him, but he updated his rankings yesterday. You have Eloy 42nd at outfield. So guys like Gregory Polanco and Franmil Reyes, Yasiel Puig ahead of him. Is Aaron Hicks ahead of Eloy Jimenez? Scott?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember if he is in Roto, but in points, he probably is, yeah.
He certainly is in points leagues. Okay, so we need to see a little bit more from Eloy Jimenez. You know what we need to see from Eloy? Just maybe a three-game set against the Orioles will get him going. Sunday, if you're not doing anything, hey, what are you doing on Sunday? You got Monday off. It's Memorial Day. Why don't you head on over? Come on, hang out with us on CBS Sports HQ. Download the CBS Sports app on your Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, whatever it is. You can watch CBSSportsHQ.com. We're going to be on likely from 3 to 7 p.m. And Scott and I think are the first half, Kreith the second half. But check us out, doing some video stuff, having fun. And reading your tweets, by the way. Go to sportsline.com if you want more great fantasy analysis like the rest of the Aces column. Also, gambling advice, that's primarily what Sportsline is. Sportsline.com, you want your first month for a dollar, use the promo code PITCH. And we're on Spotify. So if you have Spotify, please follow us on Spotify. You can listen to our podcast or just help us kind of move up the charts because we were late to the party on Spotify. And I want to be a little bit more visible there. It is Thursday. I'm a worrywart. A thuriwart. Let's get the thuriometer out for Garrett Cole Hamels. I'm going to guess we're a zero on Garrett Cole. He got rocked last night, six runs on two home runs.
Six home runs.
We might be a little more than a zero if that were the case. But for Garrett Cole, 4.11 ERA, that's really the only thing that jumps out. Everything else is amazing. The home runs are a little high. Are you concerned at all? Where are you, 0 to 10 on the thuriometer here on Thursday, the worryometer? For Garrett Cole,
the home runs are a lot high. Home runs per nine is almost twice what it was last year. So preventing long balls was a big part of his success a year ago. But the thing is, the fly ball rate is actually down this year. You look at his Sierra and XFIP; they both have him for like a 250-ish ERA. as opposed to 4.11. So it's a zero. It's a zero. He'll be fine.
17 walks to 100 strikeouts. Is that the best? Let me see if that's the best strikeout-to-walk ratio in baseball. Yes. Oh, no. It's just Blake Snell, 31.4%. Gerrit Cole, 31.3%. Let me.
Blake Snell, look at that.
Yeah. Let me read the top 10 here. You're going to just love number 4. Blake Snell is one. Okay. This is walk to strikeout ratio. Walk to strikeout ratio.
That's a nice clickbaity headline, by the way. You're going to love number. Okay. Go ahead.
You're right. You're never going to guess who's number 4 on this list. Okay, so here, let's go through the slideshow. Blake Snell's number 1 on walk to strikeout ratio, strikeout to walk ratio. And this is a pretty good. This is usually a list populated with great pitchers. Snell, Cole, Sale. Scherzer's 5. Who do you think is 4?
I'm looking forward to loving it.
All right. Caleb Smith.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Caleb Smith, good. Scherzer, yeah, no. Verlander, Carrasco, Strasburg, Ryu, Glasnow. That's your top 10. Matthew Boyd, Jacob deGrom. This is a list of great pitchers for the most part. Or, no, great pitchers. Okay.
Completely. Yeah.
Cole Hamilscott.
There used to be that Bartolo Colon sneaking in there. well, it's not all great pitchers, but now that he's out of the way.
No, this yeah. Tyler Malley's in number 19. Brandon Woodruff's number 20. We talked about them on the Aces piece yesterday. So maybe there's something to it with those guys. Back to the Thuriometer and Cole Hamels. 3 runs on 9 hits in 4 innings against the Phillies. And overall, you know, solid numbers. Whips a little high, 1.26, but a strikeout per inning, a 3.38 ERA. Last 6 starts have been rough. Only 2 quality starts, only 2 starts of more than 5 1/3. Still only a 3.86 ERA, but just hasn't really put together a lot of good starts. Cole Hamels. And next week is at Houston and at St. Louis. 0-10 on the Worryometer for Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels, I'd put maybe about a 3. I'm not sure I would have characterized it the way you did. I guess he hasn't had a lot of great starts recently, but he's been mostly fine. He allowed, in this start, 0 home runs and had 18 swinging strikes. He's been really good at getting ground balls, so really good at home run prevention, kind of surprisingly this year. I don't really have any concerns about him. I think he's basically must start. I'd be fine rolling him with him for the 2 matchups next week.
All right. It's going to be at Houston and at St. Louis. And good luck to you, Cole Hamels. So, Scott, let's get a prospects update. I've been getting a lot of emails about CJ Krohn's brother. It was Kevin Krohn, right?
Kevin Krohn, son of Chris Krohn, who manages him at AAA Reno. So baseball bloodlines here.
Wow.
For Kevin Krohn. And yet, he's been passed over at 26 years old and beating up on AAA. 5 straight seasons with 20-plus home runs. And he's already there this year. This is the 5th straight. Wonder how much the new ball has to do with that.
Wow.
But it's just an unfortunate profile. He's a big-bodied corner infielder. So there's no possibility of putting him in another position. And that's how you get guys like Christian Walker and Daniel Vogelbach this year. It's just hard to find a place to put those guys. I guess it's possible if Christian Walker slumps much longer that Kevin Krohn will overtake him, but I'm not betting on it because I think Christian Walker's pretty good. So, you know, he's played some third base, Krohn has. I don't think he's a real option there, and obviously Eduardo Escobar isn't going anywhere. Kevin Krohn's the minor league leader in home runs, and if he were to get a shot, I think he could surprise in fantasy. I just don't see, barring injury, I just don't see a great chance of that.
I actually don't even know what organization he's in. Oh, he's in the Diamondbacks organization. Okay. He's slugging 800. And one thing I'll say about Krohn is just looking at his minor league track record, a lot of power. Plate discipline, much, much better. I'm not sure if you said that. Much better this year. 27 walks and 33 strikeouts.
But thanks for paying attention.
You did say that?
I didn't, no. Oh. But thanks for paying attention. But you could have figured out from contextual clues what organization he's in.
Maybe. Yes. I was really blown away by his by his stats page. So who are the other prospects that we need to pick, we need to stash right now? I texted Scott the other night. I said, yo, when's Kevin Biggio going to get called up. And Scott said, I'm surprised he hasn't been called up already. So I am now on a $3 bid in a $250 Fab League. I got Biggio. I'm excited about that. Let's hope he comes up. Who else should we be stashing?
He's probably sixth on my list, so he didn't make the column this week. But just because, I mean, he hasn't shown much power recently. Like, it's not like he's streaking his way to the majors. He's not, you know, he's kind of cooled off. But, yeah, the top choice is obviously Jordan Alvarez, who homered again yesterday. He's two home runs behind Kevin Krohn for the major league lead. The problem is Kyle Tucker's on this list for me now, too, and has completely turned his season around. His numbers over the last 6 weeks, as good as they were last year. And I'm not positive, but my guess is if an opening were to develop, they would go to him first because he's already on the 40-man roster. And Alvarez isn't, but I could be wrong about that. Alvarez does have the exciting numbers overall. They're both on that list. Zach Gallen of the Marlins, he's still on that list. This is an interesting stat. For as bad as the Marlins have been, they've used the same five starting pitchers all year. Zach Gallen, were that to change, he'd almost certainly be the guy in getting called up to replace him. But he's not on the 40-man either, so I guess if it's just a one-turn scenario, maybe not. I also like Jesus Luzardo, who still hasn't pitched this year technically, but he is set to face live batters this weekend, so he continues to progress from a strained rotator cuff. And finally, my fifth choice for right now is Luis Urania.
Arias?
Oh, man. Arias. Yeah, Luis Arias. What is that name? Yeah, Luis Arias, who's up to like a dozen homers, has a 1,200 OPS at AAA. And that's like, he wasn't even thought to be a power prospect, but he's clearly bringing the power right now. And Ian Kinsler is not in the majors, so it's only a matter of time before that, which happens, hopefully permanently this time.
Well, Ian Kinsler is now going to curse at you when he hits his next home run, I hope you get that reference, since you just dissed his power. Kyle Tucker is 40% owned. Jordan Alvarez, 57% owned. Zach Gallen, 27%. Luis Arias, 26%. And I did not have time to look up Jesus Luzardo. But Kevin Biggio is actually only 17% owned, which is probably why I was able to pick him up in that league. We got some big news for you. Giancarlo Stanton was removed. It's like, how do you get a calf strain by getting hit by a pitch in the calf? That's so weird. He's going to be shut down.
Maybe trying to dodge it.
That's maybe not the most nimble guy. Stanton's going to be shut down for a week to 10 days and reevaluated after that. Oh, I probably should have talked about this earlier, Scott. I'm sorry. Wade Davis is on the IL with an oblique injury, and Scott Oberg will be the primary closer for the Colorado Rockies. So what is your take there?
He's a disgrace to the name Scott. He actually has a good ERA, but like, not missing enough bats. The FIP is over 4. He wouldn't be my choice. Mm-hmm. Who would be your choice? You added somebody to our team without my permission, by the way.
Sure.
I think it was Carlos Estevez, right?
Yes, it was Carlos Estevez.
You were kind of speculating there.
Well, Oberg was already picked up, and we own Wade Davis, which is why I thought it was important to get someone there. And this was before I saw the report that Oberg was going to get the saves. Estevez has a better profile, a worse ERA, but I dropped Yoenis Cespedes, so I don't think we're gonna need Yoenis Cespedes anymore. So
I assume, and I probably should have had his name ready if I was going to interject like this. Man, I'm having a hard time with names today. The former Cardinals closer who pitched for the Blue Jays last year.
He's been
now
terrible.
Pitches for the Rockies.
Senwano, he's been absolutely terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, I assume he wasn't an option.
No, he was an option. I don't think he's been picked up, but he's got a 960 ERA, so I just don't
see. Not an option for the Rockies.
Oh, for the Rockies, yeah. All right, so Scott Oberg, and it might not be, like, it's an oblique injury. It might not be a long-term one for Wade Davis, so I don't think we're going to be super high on Scott Oberg right now. Robinson Cano left with a quad strain that could certainly be an IL stint. Omar Narvaez is day-to-day with a bruised knee. He is the number 6 catcher in points, number 5 in Roto. although I feel like he should be number 5 in points, number 6 in Roto. Maybe I messed that up. George Springer sat again with back tightness. He is apparently making progress. Elvis Andrews should be back on Saturday. Christian Yelich hopes to play tomorrow. JD Martinez, I thought he sat with an illness. It turns out he had a sore back, so he missed now, I think, 3 straight games with either an illness or a sore back. 2 games with an illness, sore back yesterday. Maybe he had a cough and he hurt his back coughing. Just, that's a joke. Willie Calhoun is on the IL with a quad strain. That'll keep Hunter Pence in the lineup for sure. David Peralta sat, so got to keep an eye on him. Javier Baez is back, and right now Chris Davis is not yet on the IL. It still could happen. Mark Canna DH'd and started again, and he homered again in place of Chris Davis. We are going to take a quick break on fantasy baseball today. We've got a few bullpen notes, a Manny Machado note, buy low, sell high, buy high, and a lot more trade talk right after this.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Scott, let's take a look at the bullpen now. So you mentioned Sean Kelly. He's 29% owned. You can pick him up. I'm a little annoyed about Matt Barnes. He pitched the 8th again. I know he gave up a run, but the funny thing is the Red Sox bullpen was supposed to be their weakness. They actually have some pretty good options there, but... yeah, I'm annoyed about Matt Barnes, again, not getting a save chance.
And then I think Brazier pitched the 11th, so it's a leverage thing. I mean, I still think Barnes is the first option there, but just another bullpen where you can't count on any one guy to get a big save total.
Marcus Walden ended up getting the save chance, and he blew it in the 9th. Josh Hader once again got the save. That's 12 for him. Jeremy Jeffress pitched the 8th. And Sean Doolittle, his ERA went up from 171 to 343. His whip from 119 to 133. He's actually even had, like, he's had a great year before giving up 4 runs without recording an out yesterday. But some bad luck, I'd say, because he had a 321 BABIP with a hard contact rate that was actually lower than last year. And he's actually getting more fly balls than ground balls. So I think Sean Doolittle's probably just fine, right?
I think so. This is 6 earned runs in his past 3 appearances, though. So, you know, the ERA's gone up even more dramatically than that. 3 of the 4 runs yesterday were on a home run, Rajay Davis, which, you know, you could take as good news or bad news, I guess, depending on how you look at it. But I think he's going to be fine. I don't think they're looking to replace him. I'm not looking to bench him. I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, the way I look at it is like Sean Doolittle obviously said Rajay Davis was not even with the team by first pitch. He showed up in like the 3rd inning or something like that, which is true. I don't remember specifically when he showed up, but he just got called up because Nimmo's on the IL. There's no way Rajay Davis, who hit 1 home run last year, is going to homer off of me. I'm going to throw him a cookie, and he underestimated the great Rajay Davis. Scott, I was looking at your rankings last night. Manny Machado is your number 8 shortstop. So let's talk about Machado. After we talk about Machado, I'm going to get a buy low, a sell high, and a buy high from you. And I'm going to do more buy low and sell high after that. This is a Thursday show. This is a trade show. But Machado, entering yesterday's game, had a .381 slugging percentage at home. All of those fears about the ballpark have come true. Basically just not being in Camden Yards. And shortstop's really good. So you've obviously moved him down. Okay. So
like it's more the latter. I got tired of seeing Carlos Correa down at 8, so I had to put somebody else there. It's 8, but if we were redrafting today, he'd probably be like a 4th round pick for me.
Okay, because he's been pretty, I don't want to say bad, but I don't know. I mean, OPS under 800 and no steals, or I think 1 steal. So he's been kind of bad overall.
He's on pace for more than 30 homers. And, but the biggest, so, you know, it's, let's not overstate it. The biggest issue for me is that he's striking out far more than ever. Like his entire career, even going back to his rookie season, he's striking out more than that. And that shouldn't be a ballpark thing. I'm skeptical that's going to continue. And if it does, obviously his batting average is going to go up. His BABIP is normal. The home run pace is pretty normal, like I said. So I think he's going to be okay. But I'd rather have Carlos Correa. I'd rather have Adalberto Mondesi, who I also moved ahead of him.
Right. And then
that's where I'm at with Manny Machado.
Right behind Machado is Bogarts, Jorge Polanco, Paul DeJong. This is a points league, so Elvis Andrews. In a roto league, would you take Andrews or DeJong over Manny Machado?
No, I'd still take Machado. I'm not ready to give them those two that kind of benefit of the doubt that we're replacing them with what had been a perennial first, second-round type hitter.
Right. Here's a weird stat for Machado. I mean, he's been really bad against righties this year, which is not typical for him, but slugging .342. He has a 1536 OPS against lefties. And you hear it all the time. I talk about the NL West consistently sees the most lefties. Here are the leaders in at-bats against lefties. Number one, Colorado. Number two, the Dodgers. Number three, Arizona. Number four, San Francisco. Number 27 is San Diego. They're the team that doesn't see the lefties so far. They do have lefties in their rotation. Strom and Lauer. I can't think off the top of my head like this. But I expect them to start seeing more left-handed pitchers. It's weird that they're 27th and the other four teams are.
I don't even know how you find that stat. But that's been...
I go to ESPN.com, their stats page, and then they have splits if you just look at the team stats versus lefties. Oh. And you should not look at the team that has scored the most runs versus lefties because it's not per game. You should probably look at OPS if you want to see the teams that do the best against lefties, but you could also just sort by at-bats. Not plate appearances, unfortunately, but by at-bats. Also, Manny Machado has a career-high hard contact rate. Just wanted to bring that up. Let's do some buy lows.
I'm glad I gave you an opportunity to plug ESPN.com. That was so kind of me.
Yes, I use CBS Company all the time. So. All right, Scott, buy low, sell high, buy high. I was going to talk about Heat's regression candidates. I'll wait till he's back tomorrow. So give me some. Give me a buy low, Scott White.
So, I don't have that ready to go here. So I'm going off the top of my head here. But I do think Jack Flaherty is a good buy low because the swinging strike rate is good. And unless it's changed recently, the walk rate had been better than last. Like, that was his biggest problem last year was walk. And I guess that's kind of normalized, so not so much. But he has had bad home run luck, I feel like. And there's better days ahead. I think Jack Flaherty's a good candidate. As much help as you need at starting pitcher. I know we turned down an offer for him recently in the podcast for the People League, Adam, but that wasn't exactly a case of somebody selling low on them. They were looking for full price. Yeah, no need for that.
We're not doing that. All right, so Jack Flaherty is a good buy low candidate. Sell high. I put Austin Riley down. He's homered again. 367, four home runs in eight games. One walk to 10 strikeouts. So it reminds me a little bit of Pete Alonso, who is still homering, but he's been batting in like the low 200s for...
I mean, if he's Pete Alonso, that's great.
I probably won't be. Alonso's been great, but the batting average has gone way down for Alonso as the strikeouts are catching up with him.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I just think there's a lot of hype right now. Take advantage.
Like Riley, throughout his minor league career, was a high strikeout guy. This year was an exception. And it wouldn't surprise me if he goes back to striking out a lot at the majors. And that is, you know, not everybody has Alonso-level power. I hesitate there because Baseball Reference actually gave them both a 70 rating for power, which is very high prior to this season. But obviously, There is no reason to be totally sold on Riley as this must-start player yet after only a little more than a week in the majors. So I would agree that's a sell-high possibility.
Would you trade Austin Riley for Josh Donaldson?
That's what my rankings say. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would.
Do you have another sell high, or you want to move to buy high?
Let's move to buy high. Who you got for me, Adam?
I don't have anyone.
I'll give you a.
This is your segment.
You don't have anyone.
Okay,
I was counting on you. All right, how's this one? How's this? Rafael Devers, buy high.
Yeah,
buy high. He's up to sixth in the third base. He's been the sixth best third baseman now in points leagues, ahead of even Matt Chapman, who's done some really impressive things this year. I think it's all coming together for Devers. I think this is it. I think the breakout is happening before our eyes. It's kind of been a piecemeal thing because the walk rate and strikeout rate were both greatly improved from the start, but the fly ball rate was way, way down. Well, that's normalized here in May. He is back to elevating the ball like past years, and it's resulted in 4 home runs in his past 5 games, I think it is. No, home runs in 3 straight. He's homered in 3 straight, up to 6 now. Yeah, I think the 6 stolen bases, I don't know what to make of that. It's 6-for-9, so I'm not sure that's going to continue, but average and power, I probably need to figure out how to move him up my rankings because he's not nearly as high as I'm talking him up to be. Third base is a deep position, but he is among those who I think we're going to consider must start the rest of the way.
All right, how about this for a buy high? It's kind of an interesting one. Ronald Acuna. I believe that if people aren't paying attention and don't realize the splits, he's led off like 10 straight games now or 12 straight games, and I think there will be steals. Whereas if he were, I guess the question is he going to continue? Is Acuna going to continue to lead off? Because I think if Acuna does continue to lead off, you are going to get a guy who's, on a maybe like a 20 steal pace or something like that. He'll help you with stolen bases. If he bats in the middle of the lineup, he definitely won't. I think we have enough of a sample size to know that's not going to happen. Do you agree with that premise? And do you think that he'll stay at the top of the order? He just seems to be better as a leadoff hitter. He's 3 steals in 12 games.
He does seem to. I don't think it makes for the optimal lineup for the Braves to have him there, so I hesitate to say that definitely will happen. I think it partly depends on how well Austin Riley keeps up his production. Because there's just too many on-base guys to let them all fall in the hands of Nick Markakis driving them in.
Right.
I think at this point it's fair to say fantasy owners would like to see him bat leadoff when that wasn't totally for sure, given the RBI possibilities of him batting cleanup 4.
Yeah, the ironic thing is he has 9 RBIs in 12 games as a leadoff hitter because he's batting .327 and slugging .612. But Acuna has attempted 5 steals batting leadoff and he attempt in 12 games. In 36 games batting 4th, he attempted 2 steals. So, yeah, it's
and there's
it's
no
a big
reason
deal.
For that. Like, I think that's Acuna's decision based on the comments Snitker was making this spring. I could be wrong about that. It's just weird because you'd rather get caught stealing with bad hitters behind you than with good hitters behind you. So, it's a bigger risk running from the leadoff spot. I don't know why that is. I don't know why he's doing that, but it's, 2 years in a row now.
Scott making a subtle, quasi, and certainly unintentional Jane's Addiction reference there, been caught stealing. Okay, are we considering selling high? I'm going to give you 4 huge standouts this year. They've been total studs, and I want you to tell me if we should sell high on them, and I want you to tell me if we should sell high on them after this quick break. Be right back.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one.
Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Should we sell high on the following players? Anthony Rendon. He has just under an 1,100 OPS. He's having his... probably his best season. I mean, he's just been amazing. He's definitely having his best season. But in the final 90 games of last season, Rendon had a 981 OPS. So he got off to a slow start and turned it around. Would you sell high on Rendon or just keep him and ride it out?
I'd keep him and ride it out. Yeah, he'd be a third round pick for me if we were drafting today. And I'm not sure he shouldn't be a second round pick. He's a really good player.
Hot take. In a points league, because keep in mind, Rendon has great plate discipline, 17 walks, 24 strikeouts in 45 games. I think he's a first-round caliber player.
He was better in points leagues on a per-game basis than Nolan Arenado last year.
Right.
So there's no reason to draft him that way because nobody thinks of him that way.
Right.
But, yeah. You're not wrong.
All right, how about Joey Gallo? let me see if I can get that. There we go.
In the shallow.
Thank you, Chris. Joey Gallo, he's batting .293. He has a 60.7% hard contact rate. That is ridiculous. Even for a guy who always hits the ball hard, that is like out of this world. He has a .406 BABIP. But it's obviously a breakout year for Joey Gallo, who is one of the top hitters in fantasy so far, 11-13 OPS, and a career-high 19% walk rate. Sell high or no thanks, guy, on Joey Gallo?
Nice. I don't think he's this good. Like, we were hoping for a .240, .250 batting average. Right now it's .293. His BABIP is .406. So it's going to have to come down some. Now, he could go from being a low BABIP guy, about .250 the previous 2 years, to me, like a high BABIP guy, .350, because he is, you know, he's actually lowered his rate of fly balls in a significant way. He has one of the best line drive rates in baseball, and that's how you get hit. That's how you get a high BABIP. That's how you get hits on balls in play. So he is doing a much better job of that in a way, I think, he might just be able to sustain, but even so, it shouldn't lead to a batting average this high. Having said that, I don't think anybody was disappointed in the player they got, you know, a week ago when he was hitting .260 or whatever.
Right. Well, .260,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the 30 points of batting average is making a big difference in people's evaluation of Gallo. As, you know, elite, must start, thrilled to have him in your lineup kind of guy.
Sure, but I mean, as a Gallo owner, I'm certainly afraid that he's going to hit .210 the rest of the season. He's got that history.
It's not outside the realm of possibility. I would bet against it. But if you are in a roto league and you have a 20-homer lead or something, maybe not even that high, but you're in first place by a lot, you know, maybe that's a good excuse to trade Gallo for somebody who's a little safer in other categories.
Would you rather have Gallo or Bryce Harper? thinking about it, huh?
I know what my rankings say.
I'd take Harper.
I
would. I mean, even
I'm
when
not
Harper...
sure. I'm not sure they're not the same player at this point, except Gallo hits the ball harder. I'm not sure. Yeah. But obviously, Harper has a much better track record with strikeouts than he's showing us now.
Cody Bellinger, number one player in fantasy, or number one hitter in fantasy, at least. Any reason to sell high on him? So, like, all these guys have unsustainable rates, you know, 400 BABIPs and whatnot. But
yeah, of course.
You know, but still.
But Bellinger's actually hitting 400. So.
Yes, right, 394 now.
And, you know, duh. Like, those rated, those numbers normalize. He's going to be only a 315 hitter instead.
So just keep him? Just keep Bellinger?
If we were redrafting, I did this exercise in a column Monday. If we were redrafting today, he'd be the second pick.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so I think I'd probably take Betts over Bellinger. I think. But I can't really argue with you here. I think I'd take Bellinger over Jose Ramirez.
He's running more than Betts. His strikeout rate is now about the same as Bet. I guess it's possible that changes, obviously, but those are the strikeout rate in particular is something, you know, I trust a little more than obviously batting average at this point in the season.
But Mookie Betts has had two MVP caliber seasons. You know, we're still 50 games into this season.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And Mookie Betts would be the fourth pick for me. I also moved Yelich ahead of him.
Right.
But it's you know, Bellinger is clearly a better power hitter, I think, than Mookie Betts. And it's hard to find where he lags behind Mookie Betts unless, you know, there's just an all around regression to the mean and not just here's where he's been lucky. He'll regress to the here's where he'll been lucky. So therefore, he'll regress to the mean.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, he does run. The plate discipline is amazing. One walk to strikeout, you know, 29 of each. And he's hit lefties well, which was something he was terrible at last year. He's batting .355 against lefties. And guess what? The Dodgers have faced a lot of lefties. And finally, Josh Bell. Josh Bell is the number four hitter in fantasy. He homered again yesterday. This power is looking legit. What do you think? Would you sell high on Josh Bell?
I would trade him for Anthony Rizzo. I would trade him, I think, for Paul Goldschmidt. I think I would do that. But the fact that we're having to, that I'm, you know, hesitating about it shows obviously how high he's come up the rankings for me and how highly I regard him now. If it's just you're worried about him no longer being a must-start first baseman, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the BABIP is too high and the batting average is going to come down some, but the power gains. I mean, his home run pace will probably slow too, but not enough that he's going to be somebody you ever think about sitting. I think this breakout is one of the truer breakouts we've seen here in the early going.
Gallo or Bell, rest of season?
I think I rank Bell ahead.
You do? Way to know your rankings. Scott White, all right. All right, so those were some guys that you could consider selling high, but you probably shouldn't unless you get something like completely great for Gallo or Bell or something. But we are more or less buying it. Are we sure we're buying low on these two players? There are only two players here, and they're both on the same team. And they are Matt Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt. Carpenter is the number 23 first baseman in points leagues, number 42 in Roto. Goldschmidt is 17th in points, 18th in Roto. Goldschmidt does have a career-high hard contact rate. I think he's going to turn it around. His strikeout rate is up again. Mm-hmm. Carpenter, yeah. I'm less certain. Like, I don't know. I don't think he's going to get on that heater like he had last year. I know there's a hot streak coming. I don't expect it to be as epic as it was last season. But, yeah, are we sure we're buying low on Carpenter and Goldschmidt?
I'm actually more confident we're buying low on Carpenter than Goldschmidt. Obviously, Carpenter is, you know, there's a lower standard for him to meet, and he's been more useless so far. So that's, you know, I'm not saying Carpenter's better than Goldschmidt. I just think
the price.
I'm more confident he's going to, for the cost, he's going to be worth it.
Okay.
But, yeah, Goldsch. Okay, what?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. Goldschmidt. That strikeout rate. And look, it looked terrible last May. It looked worse than this last May. And obviously he came roaring back. And that, I think that's fair to include that in your assessment, because you know, other, you're obviously dealing with a smaller sample size than ideal here, but he didn't get the strikeout rate all the way back last year. It's even worse this year. His profile's always depended on high BABIPs, and that's a little scary. It's the batting average is the main thing I'm worried about. Is he going to be just like a 260 hitter, or is he going to be 290, 300? And with all the depth at first base, I think it probably makes a difference for him.
Yeah,
I'm still betting on him, but I'm not totally confident. He's, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. This could be the start of him beginning to slow down.
Okay, but you do think that Goldschmidt will start hitting for some power? He has 10 home runs. I mean, that's not bad. But you think?
No, it's not. Yeah, more than, on pace for more than 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still hard to evaluate
like
that.
It's weird. It doesn't feel
like
it.
I mean, there's a couple reasons why it's hard to evaluate. This is shaping up to be another record-setting season in home run. So what does 30 home runs even mean anymore?
Right.
I don't know. And then two, it's still early enough that there's guys on pace for more than 60, you know, and that those paces obviously aren't going to last. And it makes somebody who's only on pace for 30 something look bad by comparison. But so there's going to be some normalization there. You know, as long as Goldschmidt keeps this pace, he should be fine in terms of power production.
I think there are I just did this while you were talking there, about 40 hitters who have hit more than 10 home runs. So he's got 10 home runs, Paul Goldschmidt. He's currently outside the top 40 in home runs. If he had 11, he'd be, you know, in the top 30 or right around 30th, but it is what it is. Okay, Scott, we got to kind of blow through the rest of the show. So, because we got a late start, I apologize. We're going to do a shorter episode
No,
today.
You shouldn't apologize. It's my fault. We're going through growing pains trying to work new equipment.
Yeah,
it's my
exactly.
fault, and everybody's mad at me.
No, it's okay.
And, no.
So we'll save the before and afters for tomorrow, like Josh Harrison Bader and Christian Walker-Buehler. And I'll give you the rest of what we need to know from yesterday. The Angels had a game postponed for the third time since 1995 in their home ballpark. The White Sox hit a grand slam and turned a triple play in the same game for the first time in franchise history. The Marlins have won 5 straight. The Indians DFA'd Carlos Gonzalez. Jeff McNeil sat with hamstring tightness. Yandy Diaz sat with a hand injury. Devers has homered in 3 straight games, as we mentioned. Jesus Aguilar has sat 3 straight games for Eric Thames. Kirby Yates has 20 saves. As a writer for The Athletic pointed out, 20 saves for Kirby Yates is more than the amount of wins for 5 teams in baseball. Baltimore acquired Keon Broxton from the Mets, and the Mets, again, they called up Rajay Davis as they put Brandon Nimmo on the IL. CeCe Sabathia is probably going on the IL to deal with his knee, which has been bothering him for like 4 years. Vince Velasquez is close to returning, but he's not guaranteed a rotation spot when he comes back. Vince Velasquez. Pedro Strop threw a successful bullpen session. Daniel Stumpf beat Sandy Alcantara in a national anthem standoff. They stayed out on the field until long after the anthem was over in the Marlins-Tigers game, and Daniel Stumpf won because Alcantara was being threatened to be ejected from the game, and he had to go in the
dugout. I was hoping it was a singing competition.
No, just standing out there. It was pretty funny, actually. Okay, I got some deep league stuff for you. Tell me if you're interested in these two. I've got 2 hitters and 5 pitchers. Dexter Fowler's 9% owned, and he has a .413 on base percentage, and he plays every day for the Cardinals, Dexter Fowler. And Rowdy Tellez is 16% owned, and he has 3 home runs in his last 2 games. Doesn't play every day, but plays a lot. Fowler and Tellez.
In a deeper league scenario, I think Fowler could emerge as more. He has, you know, other than the home run pace, which is a little low, all his other numbers look great. High line drive rate. So I don't know that the batting average he's putting up is entirely fluky. Tellez has playing time issues and really just does the one thing, hits home runs. So that's a tougher fit. But obviously in a deep enough league, it's, you know, home runs are obviously a good thing.
Let's go to the rotation. Do you have anything to say about Scherzer or DeGrom?
No. They're both great. Scherzer especially, like, if you can buy low on him, then you're probably playing with a bunch of novices. But it's worth a try because win-loss record and ERA both don't make any sense.
2 wins. The reason why it makes a little bit of sense is because the Nationals' bullpen is awful, and they blew it again from yesterday. So keep that in mind. But Scherzer and DeGrom are obviously elite. All right, so then how about – do you have anything to say about Luis Castillo, who said he just didn't have any trust in his changeup yesterday and he got hammered for it? Anything to say about Castillo?
No. I mean, the walks are higher than ideal, but like he gave up two home runs yesterday, and that shouldn't be something that happens very often because his ground ball rate is through the roof, like 60%. It's huge.
Okay.
So he's good.
All right, Castillo. So then how about ranking these next three in the rotation? Frankie Montas, Rich Hill, and Max Fried. All very good starts yesterday. Frankie Montas, Rich Hill, Max Fried.
I would go Montas. I think Fried ahead of Hill. But that's a close call. Montas is the one. Like, my most regrettable statement, I think, of this season is that I'm not buying into Frankie Montas. I don't really see it, because since then he has gone crazy. Five of his past six starts, double digit swinging strikes, his best swinging strike games of the year, and it just seems to keep getting better. I think it was 18 yesterday, including 11 on 24 splitters.
Wow.
I'm just going off memory here, but that splitter's been a game changer for him, and he's a great ground ball pitcher, so he's kind of doing the same things that make Luis Castillo great.
Buy high of Frankie Montas, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Okay. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Scott and I are going to step aside on the video portion of Fantasy Baseball today, and we'll stick around for a few more minutes on the audio portion to take you through Rick Porcello and Marco Gonzalez and Zach Davies and some fringy starting pitchers and some second basemen that I'd like to get some thoughts on if we have time for that. And maybe some emails, but it'll be about 5 minutes. All right, so thank you to our video audience. We will talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today. Hello again, audio friends. Okay, Scott, I've got four pitchers who are owned in 86% of leagues or more. Should they be? Mm-hmm. Rick Porcello, John Gray, Marco Gonzalez, and Zach Davies. Porcello, Gray, Marco Gonzalez, Zach Davies.
I think the ones I'm most skeptical of are Gonzalez and Davies. And obviously Davies had sort of a coming down to earth yesterday. He's entered with a 1.54 ERA that he obviously couldn't sustain. But it doesn't necessarily mean he's bad. It's just really hard for the non-strikeout pitcher to be effective in today's game. You know, he's thrown his changeup a lot more. That's his best pitch. Obviously not a best pitch in a swing and miss sense, but I don't know. I think he's been so good that it's hard to say he's not worth owning, but I don't really have, like, that's a sell high. I mean, it's harder to do today than it was yesterday, obviously, but that's a sell high guy. I actually did drop Marco Gonzalez in the podcast league, the point 12 team points league yesterday, and kind of regretting it now. But the things that made him so good last year, when I say so good, you know, it still was kind of, you know, top good in like a top 40 sense. They haven't been there. The ground balls, the control, the control's been fine, but the ground balls and the strikeouts have been worse.
Yeah, Marco Gonzalez has just had a brutal schedule. So, you know, it seems like every night, because I think Texas is pretty good. So I think his last five starts are the Cubs, at the Yankees, at Boston, Minnesota, and at Texas. That's a really tough run. Next week is a two-start week for Gonzalez, Texas at home and the Angels on the road. No, both at home. I owned him last year. I own him in a league this year. I feel the same way. I don't trust Marco Gonzalez against good teams. I think he'll be fine against, you know, average to below average teams. I don't know that a guy like that who doesn't strike out anybody is really a must own. So I don't think you'll regret dropping him in the podcast league. I mean, he'll have his moments, but you know.
Yeah, you need a lot of pitchers in that league to win, and it's people seem to know that because there's nothing on the waiver wire, or that's just the way pitching is right now. There's nothing on the waiver wire.
Yeah,
now there's Marco Gonzalez.
True.
So
there you go, two start Marco Gonzalez.
Don't rub it in.
And would you pick up any of these guys if you saw them available? Brad Keller, Aaron Sanchez, Jeff Samardzija.
So the one I think doing the most interesting things is Aaron Sanchez, who, stop me if you've heard this before, But he's getting a ton of swinging strikes, 16 and 3 of his past 4 starts. He's also walking too many hitters, but he's kind of maximizing the effectiveness, or like that hasn't been his game in the past, getting swings and misses. Ground balls, okay, but that's new for him, and you know, I'm at least keeping an eye on it. You know, the strikeout to walk rate still is pretty poor, but it's something to keep an eye on. The other two, Keller and Samardzija, they do nothing for me.
Scott, we're going to read 4 emails in 30 seconds. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, beginning in 3, 2, 1. Now, we need to know, Adam wants to know if you're getting closer to dropping Joey Votto in a 10-team league.
Yes, but I'm not there yet.
Bill wants to know if he should drop Jesse Winker, Christian Walker, or Hunter Dozier to pick up Yordan Alvarez in a 10-team points league. Winker, Walker, or Dozier?
Yeah, shallow league like that, it makes it pretty easy to drop Winker, who has not been playing that consistently of late.
Would you drop, from Heidi, would you drop Greg Holland for Hector Neris?
No.
And from Dylan in the Detroit rebuild, would you drop, or how worried are you about Nelson Cruz?
Wrist injury? It seemed like a borderline case he'd even go on the IL. So I'm not worried much at all.
Okay, that was 50 seconds. Totally good job there. Not your fault. Way to go.
I slowed it down on the cruise answer.
We were already over by the time I started reading it. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll have a full cast of characters on tomorrow. I think there are 10 games today. So we should have some downtime to talk about, you know, read some emails and talk about regression candidates and enjoy fantasy baseball chatter. For Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.